Welcome to the Daily Wrap Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Monday, November 11th, 2019. Thank you for joining me tonight for this quick, shorter, special edition of The Last American Vagabond, or the Daily Wrap Up, excuse me. I had a fantastic interview today with James Corbett. Unfortunately, I had to put off my interview with Whitney Webb. She had some personal issues. We're going to be rescheduling that for later in the week. But I had a fantastic interview with James Corbett about the origins of ISIS, where it actually comes from, Al-Qaeda and all of it, and the truth behind it, which I'll be putting out tomorrow. So hopefully you can all dive into that and enjoy it and take from it what you will. But today, I'm going to get into a couple of special things focused largely on today is Veterans Day. And of course, one of the main topics that I wanted to talk about, which is Bolivia, because this is something that's very important that's going on today. And of course, the day today is just a perfect day to make this point. But there's a lot going on, but I'm going to push off till tomorrow so I can make this a quicker show for everyone, which was kind of a bonus today, kind of an offhanded decision to do this on some things that I've been following throughout the day. Now, obviously, today's Veterans Day. As you all know, a day to honor veterans and their sacrifice. And as I see it, there's no better way to honor those veterans than by taking the quintessentially American action of speaking truth to power and exposing the very lies that so many veterans were sold by the state. Now, today we should remember those who risked their lives for what they believed to be right and honor them by bringing to light the many different ways in which we've all been deceived by those who have gambled with the lives of generations of Americans for unjust reasons and immoral ambitions. Now, far too many have been conditioned from birth to blindly serve and to see anything else as an affront to what this country represents. Yet this nation has not really represented what it claims to for quite some time, as many are beginning to recognize, which is why I do what I do, to awaken those lost to the lies, to the reality that their loyalties have been hijacked by those who care nothing for the love that we actually have of this country's core values. Whether or not they were ever truly practiced by this nation's founders, they've become real for us, real enough to fight for. And this slowly materializing mountain of government lies is why there is such forceful efforts to make holidays like today about glorifying the state and its war efforts, as opposed to those they tricked into carrying them out, despite that being the claim. And to make those of us saying anything less out to be deceivers and manipulators, truly accusing us of that which they are guilty. This is classic propaganda, in the truest sense of the word. Now, the saddest part is that so many have bought into this, and so much so that they do not even know their own history, and turn around and call those of us still embracing the true values of this country as the enemy. Treasonous, even. So today, I ask all those out there today that are currently recoiling in disgust for my willingness to speak ill of the country on such a day, is to first understand that I'm not speaking ill of this country. That's actually the deception. I love this country. The real country, as many of you know, its people. Now, I'm speaking ill of those who have deceived the masses and use our love of this nation, of our nation, right? The nation of, by, and for the people to carry out imperialist wars of aggression in your name, in our name. And second, to take a step back and simply look at what such blind subservience to those in power who arrogantly lie to maintain it has obviously done, both in this country and to those around the world who dared to think for themselves, such as Bolivia, for that matter, which I'll get to in a moment. But the first thing I wanted to start with, and there's only really two main things that I want to point out today, is this first point to come off of what I just said. The reality that any poll you look at today from any political spectrum will show you that most veterans, in a broad sense, disagree with the war on terror. Or, respectively, think that it was catastrophic, think that it was a mistake. And in this case, we can see most veterans believe that the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan weren't really worth fighting. And these are the people that were there dying for it. So that should really bring to light the reality of where we are. Now, I shouldn't have to reiterate after I just opened with that same point, but the idea that this is in no way meant to disparage these people, regardless of whether they were tricked or not. The point is that this is a time when these people should be celebrated for their sacrifice, regardless of whether or not they did. I mean, we know what this is all really about. We know what these wars are actually meant to do. But that doesn't mean that the person who graduated high school and was blinded by the propaganda who went there to serve did not do so honorably. It's not their fault that they were tricked. Now, many people may end up saying, oh, well, they should know because we're doing this and we're doing that. Yes, you could say that. And to a certain point, I agree that there's a lot out there if they were willing to look. But so many people don't even know it's there, regardless of what we have to say. So the point of today in general, and this is also, we need to recognize that it is hijacked to glorify the state and the idea of war and what it's doing, not the people who fought for it, as much as they try to pretend that's the way it is. And as we can look at this and see that even those very people who fought and died and have family members and everything else, all the connections here, the families of veterans and the veterans themselves do not believe what we're doing is right, by and large. And that has to say something for you today. Now, before I move on to the next story, the only real story that I wanted to get into today that I wanted to include so this wasn't just me saying things about Veterans Day today, which I do think is incredibly relevant, was the fact that as I was going back on previous information, I looked at the headlines from exactly 1 year ago today. And on this Veterans Day, discussing endless wars and things that are going on around the world, I found it incredibly relevant to find out what we were discussing a year ago. Let's just go through the headlines. First one is the U.S. is intentionally blocking shipments of insulin to Venezuela. Oh, well, that's still happening. They're still, I mean, one of the recent stories was they just stopped an entire shipment of food and that they're, you know, they're sanctioning the CLAP program and this stuff is still going. All illegal. Guaido's still clearly failed and yet they're still going at it. Right? Endless wars. Next one, you won't be shocked at. Israeli jets strike positions in Gaza. Oh, that could have been any day, every day from a year ago to today. That could be anywhere. The next one, you won't be surprised by. U.S. arms exports up 13%. So they're selling more arms to the 73% of the world's dictators that we know they sell to. All still going, right? So this is all in honor of these people fighting as we continue to exacerbate the problem. The other one, it says, is as the U.S. spent $1.5 million a day to fight Afghan heroin production, heroin output quadrupled. Or you could maybe look at that as they spent $1.5 million a day to grow heroin. As we actually know, this was actually happening. But it's interesting that a year ago, this was still being talked about and we're still there today. And it's now the world's most deadly war. Endless wars. Next one says provisional ballot boxes, you'll remember this, discovered inside Avis rental car at Fort Lauderdale Airport as we're coming into new elections, right? Because this is how they operate. As I pointed out before, that's not the exception. That's what they all do. It's about who can cheat without getting caught. That's our political system today. Next one says, guess what? Brennan and Clapper should not escape prosecution, but we know that they did and no one's ever going to go after them. Well, today it seems like they're hinting at it. I doubt it will happen. A year ago that we're talking about that. And the last one was Yemeni war deaths have been underestimated 5-1, which we all know to be true today. Now, much of this, remember, when we talked about these a year ago, fake news. And we all know that all of these are exactly the exact same situation today. Nothing has changed. And that's a sad thing to realize. And bringing it full circle to where we are right this moment in what seems to be the newest version of the endless war machine and the coup attempts that have been carried out and attempted on this same person numerous times in the past, or the same country anyway. This coming from Sputnik about the coup in Bolivia that we know was a coup in Bolivia, backed by the United States government. Well, now it gets even more interesting that it turns out that we have audio recordings containing details of alleged coup plans and U.S. involvement. And it says it emerged amid the Bolivian crisis. Now, obviously, these are recordings, audio recordings, and they will almost guarantee to be dismissed by the people that they're allegedly on there. But it's important to remember that these very people, like Cruz, like Rubio, are notorious for being involved in things just like this, such as Venezuela, right? Such as Cuba, right? These are very flagrant examples. So in that context, understand that it's likely that this is accurate in that same case. And we have to understand how this has played out and the history here in general. So it's upon you to take this for what you will. Now, all of these are in the article included in the show notes, all 16 different audios that you can listen to. It's all in Spanish. So I, you know, to my basic understanding of Spanish, I went through them and it seems to be pretty much exactly what they say it is. But for those out there that are more fluent than I recommend you go through all of them and listen to it for yourself. But I wanted to point out something quickly, too, that I actually made a mistake on in my video yesterday about Bolivia. And it wasn't necessarily it was more of an offhanded mistake because I didn't think it was as relevant. And it was from someone that I thought that I could just rely on, which is my mistake. Just like I always tell you not to trust what I have to say and do your own research. Not because I could be lying, but not because I'm lying, but maybe just because I could be wrong, which happens. It's important for everyone to do their own due diligence. And the point was that I referenced yesterday that when Evo Morales resigned, that he basically just said, I resigned from my position as president. And that's how it was reported that I saw as everything he said. Now, guess what he actually said in full? And this is completely my fault. This was something I added right before I went live. Makes sense. Didn't have time. And that's my fault. I shouldn't have included it if I didn't do my due diligence. Now, it wasn't that it was incorrect. It was that there was an entire rest of the sentiment, which many of you probably already know. Evo Morales said, quote, I resigned from my position as president so that Mesa and Camacho do not continue to persecute socialist leaders, which is exactly what I said. Now, as all of the mainstream media is framing this as he's resigning in midst of corruption and chaos because, you know, he's cheating is the way they're trying to frame it. He openly said, I'm stepping down because they're attacking people. They're creating violence. They're burning my family's house down. This is what actually happened. And of course, they can't give you the full story. They can't even tell you, here's what he said, but here's why he's lying. They just lie to you and say, that's not what's happening. He's stepping down because he's a corrupt leader. He's a dictator and freedom is going to ensue. Obviously, that's not what's happening. This was a vicious coup attempt backed by the United States government. This isn't democracy in action. The moment Evo Morales said, okay, let's have a second election, when they actually started a second election, that you could have at least pretended was democracy. When he said, let's have another election, they said, no, you need to move yourself out of the way so we can militarily take over the government. And the U.S. government says, freedom, democracy. That's ridiculous. Just like Guaido electing himself president in the middle of the street. Democracy, right? It's only democracy when they want it to be. Right, just like when these military dictators come around and sweep up all the people that resign and start locking them up in prison. Yeah, we don't care about that, but if it happened in reverse, well, that would be the end of the world. Proof that these are dictators, right? As the analogy I used yesterday, if Russia was actually locking up an American journalist right now for nothing but exposing their crimes, you know we would never hear the end of it. But no one seems to care that Julian Assange is locked up for the same reason. Well, of course, because USA government, good guy. So whatever they do doesn't matter, it's all good. Now, Bolivian President Evo Morales announced his resignation, as you know, yesterday, after the heads of Bolivia's armed forces and police, basically the military force, basically threatened and said, you need to step down. Amid these ongoing violent protests that were being led by this opposition. Now, today, as you can see, a series of audio recordings, which allegedly feature opposition leaders calling for a coup against him, were leaked via social media, according to El Periodico, their reports. Now, here's the article. All this is in the show notes for you to read through for yourself. Now, according to the media outlet, efforts aimed at destabilizing Bolivia were to be coordinated from, guess where? None other than the U.S. Embassy, with one of the tapes allegedly mentioning that, but allegedly this was them, they're claiming, that U.S. Senators Ted Cruz, Bob Menendez, and Marco Rubio were committed to the agenda. Which I'll tell you right now, it seems pretty clear that this is what we're talking about. But the question is whether the recordings are legitimate, which I don't see any reason to think that they're not. But, you know, anything's possible. Now, and I've actually been waiting to see if they're going to respond to this, it depends. Depends on the situation, right? Because they change how they respond to things like this, sometimes just ignoring it outright, or sometimes using it for their own benefit. But do we really think that people like Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio are not capable of carrying out an illicit coup from behind the scenes? Well, that's stupid if you said no right there, because they have verifiably done that before numerous times. So now, when this is happening, based on the history we have to stand back and go, yes, this seems incredibly likely, especially knowing that Bolivia has been a focus for them for a while. Now, the opposition leaders featured in these recordings also allegedly called for a general strike across the country. And guess what? To burn structures affiliated with the government party and to attack the Cuban embassy. So all of this stuff is listed. All of this stuff is listed on all these audio recordings about what they're going to do and how they're going to basically illegally overthrow the government. Now, just really quickly, I'll read you through the basic understanding of what each of these audio recordings shows us. And as I said, they're in Spanish, and I highly recommend you take the time to listen for yourself. Now, the first audio recording, as the report illustrates, the commitment of U.S. Senators Marco Rubio, Bob Menendez, and Ted Cruz to the coup plan in Bolivia. So very clearly outlining that they are committed to this and they're part of it. That's a completely well-known fact according to these recordings. Now, the second one, it says a member of the Bolivian opposition, an alleged former military man, is calling for an armed uprising. The next one says a member of the Bolivian opposition, still to be, hasn't been identified, that you haven't recognized the voice or found out who it was, proposes to point out the houses of, guess what, supporters of the president's political party, to instill fear in the population and influence them later to support the coup. Maybe this is where it came in, where they burned his family's house down, which, by the way, 100% happened. And by the way, the video that I showed has now already been taken down. I know, you're shocked. The Facebook video is still up, but I am sure that will be taken down shortly. And why would they take that down, right? There's nothing, there's no, none of it violates any kind of a rule they have. It's because they're trying to cover what the fact that their opposition that they're pretending are the Democratic leaders burned down the family's house, which is not outside the norm for U.S. operations and their regime changes, but they don't want you to know that. And these videos are pretty hard when you understand that this is, I mean, in any case, when you're going after the family members of somebody in a political opposition, I mean, that's ridiculous. But that's what they do on a regular basis everywhere else. And in a sense, we're coming to that place in this country as well. Now, the next one says a member of the Bolivian opposition raises the strategy to be followed by the Bolivian opposition, establishing itself as a premise that invalidates the elections of October 20th. Basically saying, you know, the whole plan is that we were going to outline how they were going to, if he got reelected, right? Knowing that they've lost many times before. If he got reelected, they were going to manufacture this whole reason for why they said it was fake and use that to initiate this regime change, which is exactly what happened. And he says it generates a military civil uprising, which is exactly what happened, and creates a national strike. In addition, he commented that there are active members of the National Armed Forces and the police that would support these actions. And that seemed to be the case. Now, it says that, and what's important to recognize is what I said yesterday seems to be exactly what happened. That Evo Morales, being seemingly an honest person that actually cares about people, I know that's completely outside the norm for politics, instead of forcing that he was in charge, chose to just give up his power to ensure that the people of the country didn't suffer. I mean, that's what a real leader does. It's not about him, right? It's about actually protecting the people. Now, you could argue, and I feel like I might have a chance, I might feel this way to a certain degree, that maybe he should have stuck it out. Because, yes, he did stop what, you know, Bolivia becoming the next Venezuela with starvation sanctions and blockades and just, you know, subtle secret proxy attacks and all kinds of stuff going on. And he stopped that from happening. But you could argue that the world that they're living in will quickly become much, much worse. And for the long term, because they're allowing a U.S.-backed opposition leader that's going to be happily selling out everything to foreign entities and make the lives much worse for all the people there, becoming a third world country like all the places the U.S. says they're going to liberate around the world. So who knows if it was the smart choice or not. But you can tell that what he did was because he was afraid of creating that chaos, or rather that he knew that they would if he didn't step out of the way. And likely because he recognized that the military and the police were not on his side. It's pretty clear that he didn't have the pull. But nonetheless, he chose to step down, and then they attacked them nonetheless, because that's what honorable people do. Now, the next audio recording says a conversation between members of the Bolivian opposition that shows the participation of Manfred Reyes Villa, another member of the United States-based opposition who has coup plans, the support that the opposition is obtaining from the Evangelical Church and the Brazilian government is mentioned. The reference on an alleged man of confidence for Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro, who also advises a Bolivian presidential candidate who has not yet been identified. Now, you can always find these ties behind the scenes to all these other countries. right? I mean, we're talking about Bolivia and South America, right? I mean, it's weird how we're constantly pointing out how all these countries have been the focus of regime change, manipulation for decades. And now we'll just add this one to the list, an ongoing, growing list of repeated regime changes of countries fighting for their own, for self-determination in a place where, you know, that they feel that the U.S. feels it has the right to just tell everyone what to do because, you know what, you're in our hemisphere and we're powerful. Now, the next one says it shows the participation of Manfred Reyes Villa, member of the opposition. This is the voice of Bolivian political activist Mauricio Munoz can be heard on the recording. Now, as I go through these, I feel like some of these are just going to be, it's important for you guys to go through these and read them all for yourselves. I don't want it to go on and continue to be redundant, but what, for the sake of brevity, ultimately, as the article reads, and we can go through the base of this, it says, according to the media outlet, efforts aimed at destabilizing them were to be coordinated from the U.S. embassy, as I said. And it said the plan outlined that the audio recordings called for establishing a civil-military transitional government, as I pointed out. And it says the opposition leaders featured in the recording also allegedly called for a general strike. And it says on November 10th, Bolivian, yeah, basically all the same information. So the bottom line is it comes down to the reality that the OAS was just a U.S. manipulated entity. Right. And this is how they ultimately pulled this off, because if there wasn't any other observers that were on board with them, people would have just disregarded it and it would have looked just like a flagrant military overthrow, which is ultimately what it was. So as long as they can manipulate the fact that the election looked rigged, and even though they're not actually having another election with Evo Morales, which is ridiculous, they still pretend it was based on the fraudulent election. That's ultimately what this comes down to. Now, as you'll see, even people like Alfred Zayas, you know, who was an expert in human rights and was a previous rapporteur for the United Nations in regard to this entire topic. I've had him on this show. He says, Evo Morales has one of the best human rights records in Latin America, coming from the very man who has the authority to speak on such things. He says, but the transitionals and the Bolivian entities are not making enough money under Morales. So they need him out of the way. It can't be more clear that this is how these things operate. As I told you before, in regard to places like the Dominican Republic and these different working with companies as opposed to actually fighting for freedom. But now that we can see in the internet, we can with interconnectivity, they have to create this illusion of humanitarianism so they can then go and steal the oil, right? This is how we're beginning to see this stuff. As Caitlin Johnstone put it in her article, so there you have it. The indigenous leader of a socialist South American government, which has successfully lifted masses of people out of crushing poverty, which is completely true, which happens to also control the world's largest reserves of lithium, which I'm sure is not a factor, right? Which, as she says, may one day replace oil as a crucial energy resource due to its use in powering smartphones, laptops, hybrids, and electric cars, as well as just military equipment. She says, which has an extensive and well-documented history of being targeted for regime change by the U.S. government, that they just simply stepped down to some sort of scandal involving a disputed election. Nothing to do with the fact that right-wing mobs had been terrorizing the leader's family, or that the fact that the nation's military literally commanded him to step down and are now currently searching for him to arrest him. Which, by the way, on another side note to include, apparently he's being given asylum in Mexico, or at least that's the discussion. Which is interesting, especially with where we're at and how we've seen a little bit of pushback from Mexico in regard to Trump. So who knows how this is going to work out. Clearly, they're going to want to go after him. I don't understand why they would, though. I think they will, because he's got a lot of things to say. As I pointed out, it's interesting right now. I'm seeing a lot of much bigger name people starting to share the video that I talked about in 2018. The UN discussion where I pointed out, where I told you I predicted this was going to happen. The impending Bolivia liberation, right? I saw Sarah Abdallah share that clip today. Not my video, but the same clip, basically, of when he was speaking at the UN. So just remember that you saw that with us in 2018, right? This is the discussion all the way to now. But it's good that it's getting out there. People are, hopefully we had something to do with that, to make people see that this is probably where this kicked off this effort. I think they've been under the crosshairs for quite a long time. But since this discussion where he stood up and just called out Israel and the United States, we knew this was coming. And he says that the leader, all this leading to ousted government officials being rounded up and held captive by soldiers wearing masks. Right? I mean, again, this is the government the groups that are supported by the U.S. government. And here they are marching out people who willfully resigned wearing masks in a military tribunal. Does this seem like democracy to you? Freedom, liberty, people with rifles and masks. I mean, this feels like ISIS. But this is what the U.S. supports. And they're more than happy to tell you this is democracy and you know, liberty, everything in action, right? We're watching it play out. I mean, here's Mike Pompeo saying the exact same thing. He fully supports the findings of the OAS official report, recommending new elections in Bolivia, except that's not what happened, by the way, right? To ensure a truly democratic process representative of the people's will. That's exactly what happened when he got reelected, Morales. Clearly. All that happened was these OAS officials came up and said, no, we have irregularities. It says the credibility of the electoral system must be restored. Yeah, the very person that we're looking at right here is the reason this is, the electoral system is not working properly. It's just disgusting to see someone like this stand up and continue to act like the beacon of truth and freedom while he's the one stepping on those things around the world. Now, according to Mike Weisbrot, who we've mentioned before, who is the author, or at least part of the study that showed us that 40,000 people have died due to sanctions of the U.S. government in Venezuela, he says they never did find any evidence of fraud in the October 20th election. Oh, weird. I guess that point is irrelevant now, right? But the media repeated the allegation so many times that it became true in this post-truth world, right? That's repeat it until it becomes the truth, right? You repeat a lie often enough, it becomes the truth. This is what they do. He's not wrong, by the way. There has never been a shred of evidence to show that there was anything happening there that was fraudulent. They made the claim, they circulated the claim ad nauseum, and then they just forcefully removed him. Now, no one's looking back. What if we look back now and say, oh, turns out there was no fraud. Doesn't matter now. He's been militarily removed, and the U.S. government has a puppet in place. This is disgusting that we are associated with this. If you're an American out there using your dollars and your name to remove democratically elected leaders for their benefit, which is, if you watch this show and even have the smallest amount of ability to do due diligence, you already know that is very, very normal for U.S. foreign policy. And here's what he followed up with. Well, it's officially a military coup down in Bolivia. And as usual, backed by the U.S. government. Without the U.S.-dominated OAS and a lot of terrible and even false reporting, it probably wouldn't have happened. Exactly. Without their ability to infiltrate the groups that are supposed to be independent monitors of the election, without their ability to completely control the mainstream media narrative, this wouldn't have worked. Because there are honest people out there, like you listening and myself, that are trying to fight for the reality. But a lot of them are just not as savvy and are taken by these things. Right, the OAS, well, if they don't know any better, it seems like an independent group that's fighting for South America. But no, they're working directly on the behalf of the United States government. As we saw with Venezuela, as we proved with Venezuela, where they came out with completely false and manipulative information. This is the reality, ladies and gentlemen. A military coup in Bolivia backed by the U.S. government to remove a democratically elected leader because they don't want him there. I would say largely because he probably said things that they didn't want him to say. It's pretty hard for the average American to digest this. But it's time. It's truly time for us to wake up to this reality. So ultimately, right, I mean, here they are right in front of us again, yet again, on what should be a somber day of reflection, right, creating the next field of war in which unwitting American youth will be sent under a guise of fighting for freedom, as they sadly do the exact opposite. I mean, really, especially on a day like today, we owe it to ourselves and to those who gave their lives for a cause that they likely realized in the process of pursuing was not what they were told it was, to speak the truth and not blindly acquiesce to the jingoistic pressure of the brainwashed masses. It's not hard to do just a little research and see just how many veterans tell quite a different story about what we should be proud of and what we are really doing overseas. It's also not difficult to see just how hard the establishment works to keep this dissenting message of veterans suppressed. and keep them drugged up in the shadows, of course, as they kill themselves in record numbers in silent suppression. But sure, let's keep creating more war. As James Madison, our fourth president and an author of our Constitution, wrote, quote, "Of all the enemies to public liberty, war is perhaps the most to be dreaded, because it comprises and develops the germ of every other. War is the parent of armies. From these proceed debts and taxes. And armies and debts and taxes are the known instruments for bringing the many under the dominion of the few." How perfect is that? He says, in war, too, the discretionary power of the executive is extended, which is what we're seeing today. He said its influence in dealing out offices, honors, and emoluments is multiplied, and all the means of seducing the minds are added to those of subduing the force of the people. No nation could preserve its freedom in the midst of continual warfare. Well, gee, I sure wish we would have been paying attention. So as we are forcefully told today to embrace an idea of blind patriotism and subservience to the empire, lest we be seen as un-American, we should absolutely remember those who gave their lives for it, regardless of how manipulated and misled they might have been, as their actions were incredibly brave nonetheless. They believed the mirage they were sold, like so many others. Yet we owe it to them, and everybody else, to be honest about what it all represents, and what it's all truly for. I mean, to mindlessly say, it's for freedom, it's for spreading democracy, is to simply ignore not only what those obvious lies have produced around the world, but also to allow it to carry on, in your name, which to some degree makes those willing to ignore it for their daily comforts complicit, culpable even. So honor your loved ones today. Honor their courage and their beliefs, but do not blind yourself to how the faceless oligarchy uses their courage to do anything but fight for freedom and liberty. To call this atrocity out for what it is truly American. It is what this country was founded upon, and I can think of no better way to honor those lost to such fruitless wars of aggression than to stand in defiance of tyranny. I love you guys. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
The agenda for this meeting is maintenance of international peace and security, non-proliferation of weapons of mass destruction. The agenda is hereby adopted. It is a great honor to be here today at this UN Security Council briefing to discuss a matter of urgent importance concerning and countering the proliferation of deadly chemical, biological, and nuclear weapons, and the means to deliver them. The nations of the world have long recognized that certain weapons are so dangerous and can inflict so much suffering that all of us have a vital interest in preventing their further development, spread, and use. Since my inauguration, the United States has taken bold action to confront these sinister threats. Many of us are rightly focused on the dangers of nuclear weapons, but we must never forget the risk posed by biological and chemical weapons. The United States was one of the first nations to unilaterally renounce the use of biological weapons. And since World War I, we have led international efforts against the scourge of chemical warfare. Most recently in Syria, we have twice imposed severe consequences on the Assad regime for using chemical weapons against innocent civilians. I want to thank Prime Minister May and President Macron for their country's close partnership in those efforts last April. The Syrian regime's butchery is enabled by Russia and Iran. The Iranian regime exports violence, terror, and turmoil. it illicitly procures sensitive items to advance its ballistic missile program and proliferates these missiles all across the Middle East. The regime is the world's leading sponsor of terror and fuels conflict across the region and far beyond. A regime with this track record must never be allowed to possess a nuclear weapon. For this reason, I announced earlier this year that the United States would withdraw from the Iran nuclear deal.
Brothers and sisters, we are convinced that it is crucial to have a discussion not just on the effects, but above all on the structural and root causes that lead to war, and on the genuine and true motivations of the assaults on international peace, security, and justice that we are seeing.
Tomemos como ejemplo
Let
Irán,
us take the example of Iran,
que se ha hecho referencia en la mañana de hoy.
In
1953, financió,
the United States financed,
y ejecutó un golpe de Estado en contra de un gobierno democráticamente
elegido, que en ejercicio
de su soberanía
nacionalizó
su petróleo
de mano
de una empresa
anglo-estadounidense.
Después, por varias décadas,
For many decades,
apoyaron un gobierno autoritario
the United States
que permitía que las ganancias del petróleo beneficien a empresas transnacionales.
Transnational companies.
Esa situación se vivió hasta la revolución de 1979. Ahora, que Irán ha retomado el control de sus recursos, es nuevamente víctima del asedio estadounidense. Bolivia rechaza categóricamente las acciones unilaterales impuestas por el gobierno de Estados Unidos en contra de Irán. Asimismo, condena el hecho de que Estados Unidos se haya retirado del Plan de Acción Integral Conjunto, utilizando excusas para continuar con su política de injerencia e intervención en los asuntos internos de ese hermano país. Hermanas y hermanos del Consejo de Seguridad, nos referimos a la región de Oriente Medio, rica en recursos naturales, pero proporcionalmente afectada por invasiones, guerras y situaciones de agresión injustificada que siguen produciendo dolor y luto en sus pueblos. Esta región del mundo ha sido escenario de los tres
for the three
más grandes agresiones cometidas durante el siglo XIX, perdón, siglo
XXI.
La primera agresión es la ilegal invasión a Irak, basada en una mentira de que ese país poseía armas de destrucción masiva. Esa invasión produjo más de un millón de muertos. La segunda agresión es el derrocamiento del gobierno de
Libia,
con decenas de miles de muertos, con la excusa de razones humanitarias. Como consecuencia, subsiste una grave inestabilidad política y una crisis humanitaria en el norte de África. La tercera agresión es la guerra civil en Siria, que en los últimos ocho años ha provocado más de medio millón de muertos. Esa guerra es producto directo de la injerencia y el financiamiento de grupos armados y organizaciones terroristas enfrentados al gobierno sirio.
Hermanas y hermanos,
en los últimos meses, Estados Unidos ha demostrado nuevamente su desprecio al derecho internacional, el multilateralismo, y los principios propósitos de la Carta de las Naciones Unidas. Cada vez que Estados Unidos invade países, lanza misiles o financia cambios de régimen, lo hace acompañado de una campaña
de propaganda
que reitera que es a nombre de la justicia, la libertad, la democracia, los derechos humanos o por razones humanitarias. Quiero decirles, a Estados Unidos no le interesa la democracia. Si así fuera, no habrían financiado golpes de Estado y apoyado a dictadores. No amenazaría con intervenciones militares a gobiernos democráticamente electos, como lo hace contra Venezuela. No le interesa los derechos humanos ni la justicia. Si así fuera, firmaría los convenios internacionales de protección de los derechos humanos o las amenazas a los mecanismos de investigación de la Corte Penal Internacional. No promovería el uso de la tortura,
no abandonaría el Consejo de Derechos Humanos y no separaría a niños migrantes de sus familias ni los pondría en jaulas. A Estados Unidos no le interesa el multilateralismo. Si así fuera, no se habrían alejado del Acuerdo de París o del Pacto Global de Migraciones. No lanzarían ataques unilaterales ni decisiones como declarar ilegalmente a Jerusalén como capital de Israel. Ese desprecio al multilateralismo está motivado por su afán, por el control geopolítico y la apropiación de los recursos naturales. Hermanas y hermanos, por encima de estas situaciones, saludamos a los países, Francia, Alemania, Reino Unido, China, Rusia, que se mantienen firmes en la defensa del acuerdo nuclear firmado con Irán, a los países que no abandonaron el Acuerdo de París, a los países que defienden los principios de igualdad soberana de los estados, de no injerencia en asuntos internos, de respeto al derecho internacional y de respeto a los compromisos asumidos y de defensa del multilateralismo. La responsabilidad de nuestra generación
the responsibility of our generation is to hand over a fairer and more secure world to the following generation.
We will only achieve this dream if we work together to consolidate
a multipolar world, a world with common rules that are respected by and defended from all the threats ranged against the United Nations. Thank you very much.
With any idea of justice.
About 10 days after 9/11, I went through the Pentagon and he said, I just got this down from upstairs, meaning the Secretary of Defense's office today. And he said, this is a memo that describes how we're going to take out 7 countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran.